Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome and thank you for tuning into In the Arms of the Angels, hosted by Dr. Kai McNeil on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Mark Rawson. I'd like to welcome you to another night of a great radio show. Here we are in February already, coming up on Valentine's Day in 2017. As always, we're excited to have Dr. Connie on this evening doing In the Arms of the Angels on Spiritual Connections Radio. As always, if you want to find out about the shows, go to our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And also, you can check out her website, drconniesays.com, to see all her great deals, her freebies, and all kinds of wonderful things. And with that, Dr. Connie, all yours.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Welcome everybody. At the half hour, we will be having free angel card readings. So if you would like to have a reading, you can dial in to 646-716-9663. Again, that's 646-716-9663, and that's going to be at the half hour. Before we get started, I want to kind of get us settled into the kind of mental place we need to be. So what I'd like you to do, if it's possible, sit down and take everything out of your hands, and I want you to plant your feet on the floor. And I would like for you to take a deep breath. And on the inhale, I want you just to breathe in every luscious thing that the universe has for us. And on the exhale, we're going to put our roots down into the ground. And we're going to do this three times. And each time we are going to send the roots deeper and deeper and into the arms of Mother Gaia. And what she is going to do during this time that we're together, she is going to hold and love and nurture us and give to us what we need in the time that we're together. So if you would, again, plant your feet flat on the floor, put your hands, don't cross your arms or anything, put your hands in your lap and breathe in with me. One. And a second time. And then one more time. And now I'd like for you to end that by just giving yourself a big hug. And imagine Mother Gaia wrapping her arms around you and holding you close and grounding you through the time that we are together. I'm going to start with a prayer. Loving Father, benevolent universe, thank you for an opportunity to speak on your behalf, and I pray that you would bless the time that we are together. I pray that you would bless each individual that is listening now and their families, those that will be listening through the archive and their families. And I request that Archangel Sandalphon enter into this sacred space and be with us through the remainder of the time that we are together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. Thank you. I ask Archangel Sandalphon to come in because he is who we're going to speak about tonight. If I were in a room with everybody, I would call out the archangels, and I would ask you to say back to me words or images or something that you associate with that angel. And I'm very curious, extremely curious, what people would have said with Sandalphon, because he's like this unsung angel. He's benevolent and he's powerful. He's majestic. He's loving. He's compassionate. But a lot of us don't know a lot about him. So I actually had another topic I wanted to do, and it just sort of, as I was doing my writing and my reading and my meditating, Sandalphon just sort of came up front and center. So he is who we're going to speak about tonight. Sandalphon is the oversees things related to prayers. He is the archangel for musicians, for artists. He is deeply, no pun intended, but deeply embedded into the earth and taking care of the earth and our personal ascension. So when I think of Sandalphon, the word that comes to my mind, if I were going to say, you know, if someone was going to ask me that question, would be the word humble. One of the things, he's humble and he's huge at the same time, because a lot of times he's described as being the tallest of all the archangels and probably all the angels. He's described as his feet standing on the earth while his head is in the heavens. So he's literally a bridge between earth and heaven. A lot of us have a difficult time approaching the perfection of God, or the divinity of Jesus, or the angels. And it's sometimes, and I'm wondering if it feels like sometimes that they don't really understand, and there's no way that they could understand what you're going through on your, you know, on this earthly plane, kind of plodding along in our humanity, when we're talking and seeking these celestial beings, that somehow there's a disconnect, because how do they understand my hurt, my pain, my disappointment? But Sandalphon knows what it's like to be human, because he was one. He was the prophet Elijah. And as he ascended through his own walk of faith, he had the ups and downs of humanity. And he can identify not only with our triumphs, but with our failures and our frustrations. And he can assist with those who are seeking their own spiritual walk and their own walk of faith and wanting to be bolder, if you will, when it comes to making a stand for what you believe and what you want to present to the world. So I don't know how much you know about Elijah. So he had one of the greatest moments of victory. He has one of the highest mountains and the lowest valleys ever. So I wanted to share so that you have an opportunity to see the humanity of Sandalphon. And if you choose to, in those moments when you really don't feel like anybody on the other side gets it, you can know that Sandalphon does. So when Sandalphon was on earth, he was the prophet Elijah. He lived in a time when there was a great drought, and this has been going on for years. So toward the end of the drought, they've been into it at least 3 years, God tells Elijah to go to the king. And this is King Ahab. Ahab is the king, Jezebel is the queen, and they are extremely mean and vicious and wicked rulers. And they also were pulling people away from faith in God, and they were worshiping idols and these other gods. So Elijah comes and he tells Ahab that very soon the drought's going to be over. And then he says that he kind of wants to have a face-off with his God and the prophets of Baal, which is their God. And he said, we're going to decide once and for all who is God. It's either God or it's Baal, but it can't be both. Because over the years, God has been telling Elijah to go to the king and let him know that the his worshiping of Baal was, moving his people further and further away from God. So there's 450 prophets of Baal, and there's only one prophet for God. All right, so setting the scene. So there's 450 on one side, one on this side. They build two altars. Elijah says, you guys, you pick you're going to sacrifice an animal. You pick the animal that you want first, and then I'll pick my animal. You build your altar first, and then I'll build my altar. So the prophets get their ox. They prepare it, they put it on the altar, and Elijah said, do everything you're going to do on the altar, but don't light it. Call down your God, Baal, and have him light your altar. Have him set it on fire. So this is what they do. So the prophets prepare their altar, and they begin to pray. And they pray for hours, hours and hours. They start early in the morning, and about noon, Elijah starts kind of making fun of them, saying, well, maybe your God's on vacation, or maybe he's asleep. Maybe you ought to try praying a little louder. Call on him a little bit more. Call on him a little bit louder, and maybe you can wake him up. So then they actually begin to cut themselves with knives. And this is kind of part of their spiritual tradition, but this is even more so because they're frantic trying to get Baal to call down call down and send fire, to the point that they even kind of mess their altar up. So toward evening, Elijah says, enough is enough. So he rebuilds his altar. He adds 12 stones around it to honor God. He builds a trench around it. And then he asks for the people to bring big jugs of water, and three times they pour water on top of the altar. So now the sacrifice is drenched, the wood is drenched, the altar is drenched, and the trench is full of water. And he says a very simple prayer, and immediately fire comes down, burns up the sacrifice, burns up the wood, burns up the stones, burns up the dirt, and burns all the water out of the trenches. And then after this whole thing, Elijah goes over to King Ahab and he says, oh, and by the way, it's going to start raining soon. You better get prepared. Then Elijah goes up on a mountain with the person that travels with him. And Elijah's praying, and he sends the person over the water to look at it. And he says, do you see anything yet? The guy says, no, I don't see anything. And about seven times he tells this guy to go look over the water and see something. The seventh time he says, well, I see a cloud. It's a very small cloud. It's only about the size of a hand. Elijah said, That's it. That's what I needed. So he goes down, tells Elijah, goes down and tells Ahab that the rain is coming, and almost immediately the rain starts. So after this huge victory. Now remember, he's got 450 prophets, and he has just completely shown the majesty of God. And then he shows the miraculous feat of God, you know, by having the faith of looking at a tiny cloud and saying, that's the cloud that's going to bring the rain. So then he finds out that Ahab, who is the king, told his wife Jezebel what happened. And Jezebel said, by this time the next day, she had him send word to Elijah, by this time the next day, you're going to be dead. It so terrified Elijah that he ran away. And he was so depressed and so defeated by this one report, by this one woman, after he had just seen the majesty of God, this one woman so scared him that he sat underneath this this tree and he prayed to die. He said, I'm done. I am done. And I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go up to my ancestors. Just take me now. So I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this, but the highs and the lows of every something happens and you think, this is it. This is going to go smooth sailing from here on out. And then you hit a bump and it's everything has gone way wrong. So that's one of the biggest valleys, mountaintops and valley experiences in the whole Bible. And it did happen to Elijah. So Sandalphon is going to be able to understand when you come to him and you say, I don't know that I can do this anymore. I don't think I can handle this job. I don't know what I'm going to do if I don't have the money, if I don't have the health. He gets it. He understands it because he lived it. Another thing that Sandalphon wanted me to tell you was that during the journey that Elijah had, he went up to a mountain and he's still kind of griping. He's still kind of saying, you know, I'm working so hard and I'm doing all this and no one's here to help me I'm the only prophet left and all the other prophets ran away and now someone's trying to kill me and I just don't want to do this anymore. So he's still complaining. So the word of God said, I want you to go stand on this mountain and I want you to pay attention because God is going to pass by. So the first thing that passed by was a hurricane, and it ripped so hard that it was shattering the rocks, but God was not in the hurricane. And after the hurricane came an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a gentle and quiet whisper. And what Sandalphon wanted me to tell you was that Sandalphon is very humble. He is very approachable. But like God, he is not a yeller. For some of us, yelling is the only way we feel like that we're being heard. If someone isn't listening, the only way that we know what to do is to speak louder and louder and louder. But take a look at the sunrise and the sunset. There is no fanfare. It's just a gentle moving of the sun, replacing by the moon, and just the cycle of that. But there's no big drum roll or trumpets blazing. Look at the change of the season. For generally, it runs in cycles, and it's a kind of a gentle transition from one season to the next. So the earth gets prepared for what it needs to do. And in the same way, one of the ways to access Sandalphon is to be quiet, do some deep breathing, and let your mind be still. And in that way, one of the he's telling me that one of the major lessons that he learned, and one of the things that he wants to bring to us, is that lesson of, you know, it's the spirit is not found in the loud. The spirit is found in the soft whisper. Sandalphon carries our prayers to the divine and reminds us that when we engage in prayer with our whole heart, we connect with angels, ascended masters, light beings, spirit guides, guardians. For some of us, it's our families that have gone on, our ancestors. So we are not alone when we ask for angelic help. He also reminds us that all prayers are weighted the same. You know, we're so used to getting in, to making a phone call and saying, you know, all circuits are busy and your call will be answered and the orders was received, or press this button, we're going to route you depending on what your problem is. Sandalphon carries all of the prayers. All of the prayers have equal importance. Every prayer is heard, and every prayer is answered in its own time, in its own way. Sandalphon joins with Archangel Jophiel, and she's the angel of beauty. She also helps to beautify your thoughts, to help us to phrase our prayers in sort of a positive way. For example, it's very easy to say, God, I hate this job, but jobs are so hard to come by and competition is fierce. Help me find a job. But these two angels can help us to state our prayers, you know, something that's a little, something that's positive with, God, thank you for the unique gifts and talents I have. Help me to find a job that uses my gifts, one that is for my highest, in the right time and in the right way. And in this way, we're opening up unlimited possibilities. Because, as you're probably aware, spirit does not answer prayers the way that we think that he or she should all the time, and certainly not in the timing that we think he or she should. As I said earlier, Sandalphon helps musicians, composers, artists, and is often found in music. So I don't know if you've ever been part of a big part of a choir or a congregation or a group of people who are singing something, and there's this community and this oneness, and you feel your soul sort of soars with the music. That's where Sandalphon can be found. If you are inspired to drum or tone or play music, those musical bowls, or engage in music therapy, you can know that Sandalphon has whispered in your ear. And if you are open to hearing the angels, you may sense Sandalphon bringing knowledge, insight, wisdom through your pen, your paintbrush, your keyboard, other instruments. Sandalphon is attuned to the needs of the earth and all of its inhabitants. One of the things that he wants to do is help us to increase our awareness of caring for the planet and those that we share it with. He inspires us to grow vegetation, plant plants, to recycle, to support projects that clean and beautify our world, to care for our animals, either, and we can do this through donations, through hands-on work, through prayer, through any way that you feel inspired or guided to participate, then you know that Sandalphon is intimately involved with that. And you may also sense him when you're walking in nature. In the reading that I've done with Sandalphon, there is a lot of people like to have stones, or they light candles or something that draws the essence of that angel to them. With Sandalphon, everything that I read had a different stone. Everything from turquoise to calcite to fulgrite, I believe was the name of it. It just seemed like that there was no consistency. So you can always start with a clear quartz to increase the vibration and the energy to call on any of the angels. And then what I would do is I would just ask Sandalphon, if you choose to call on him. And the reason that I think he's so cool to call on is because he's so understanding. Not that the other archangels aren't, but there's a walking in my shoes kind of a thing. And we've already discussed that he's had very high triumphs and very low lows. So I would ask. I personally think he likes sage. Before I did this, while I was preparing, I just felt inspired to sage my home, and felt his presence while I was doing that. So I do believe that he likes sage, kind of earthy things, you know, because he is kind of an earth angel. So my suggestion would be to call on Sandalphon because you have a ready ally that kind of knows what you've been through. And sometimes the best people to go to, the best places to go, are those places where, you know, people have the same experiences. So I'm going to invite, I don't know if we have anyone in queue yet. Mark will be coming on quickly to do whatever he does. There he is.
Whatever I do.
Whatever you do. You do it well. I don't know what you do, but you do it well.
All right. For anybody who wants to call in and get some angel reading, some coaching, some guidance, just to get on the air and ask some questions, you call 646-716-9663. That phone number is on the website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And just like I mentioned on the beginning of the break, or at the beginning of the show, if you want to find out more about Dr. Connie and the work that she does, check out our website at drconniesays.com. We have nobody in the queue right now. It's actually a quiet night tonight. And if you can go ahead and give us the monthly reading.
I am going to do just that. Everyone's out buying their Valentine's. So happy Valentine's Day to you all.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I'm using my Archangel Michael cards.
In honor of Valentine's Day, can I do some love romance angel readings if anybody calls in for romance or soulmate or relationship questions?
Sure. Sure. You want
right.
To give
anybody
me one?
Anybody want to call in? Well, I can give
you
one of those.
You can give me one if no one calls in.
Yeah.
Right,
anybody,
let me do
if
the
you want to call in.
Yeah, let me do the monthly reading first while they're getting in queue. If no one calls in, you can do me one.
Okay. Yeah, I was just doing a promo. So just want to let you know, if you want to call in and get some answers from the romance angels as it relates to your relationship, let it be current, new one, prospective one, or just questions about your relationship in general, call in, and I'll be doing some romance angel readings regarding your relationship and relationship coaching.
Okay, so this is what Archangel Michael has to say for the month of February. He is in tune with Sandalphon because he's asking to get outside. I don't know, you know, in a lot of places, it's the weather is beginning. You don't have that really harsh January in, you know, like in the Northeast and some other places. Some of the really bitter, nasty stuff is kind of going away, and February can be tricky, but it can be a little bit not as brutal as January. So if you can, if you feel so inspired, he's teaming up with Archangel Michael, is teaming up with Archangel Sandalphon to get outside and to get into, you know, into the earth and into nature and feel the essence of the aliveness that's coming, the spring that's coming, and the energy that's surging through the earth as the plants are starting to wake up for the spring. This is a month where you can feel very safe in that you are surrounded, that not only Michael, but again, they're teaming up again. Sandalphon, because of his largeness, he oversees all of us, and he looks down, and he has us in his hands, as well as Michael. So we are protected, and we are safe. And when we are asked to step out and do things that may seem a little scary, that you know, they're going to be with us. And when they ask us to do something, to know that the guidance that we're getting is correct and the guidance that we're getting is right. And that as we step out into faith, as we step out and do these things that Michael wants us to do, and that Sandalphon, I see him in the back kind of clapping his hands, that he's saying, yeah, go for it, kind of a thing, that we're going to be moving more for those of us that are seeking life purpose, or what are we supposed to do, or what is the next step. February can be a month where we will find some of those answers, but the way to do that is to sink into really listening and having faith in what we're hearing intuitively, and then stepping out and doing that and knowing that we're safe. So that is the reading for February.
All right, let me go ahead and just grab one of these callers for a second. I'll be right back.
Oh, sure. So again, I encourage you, if you would like to have a reading, to please call in and see what the angels have to say for you. I find the readings to be so accurate. It just blows my mind. It just blows my mind.
All righty, I am back, I think.
Yes.
All right, we have Trish on with us, and I was giving Trish the choice between angel reading or a romance coaching reading regarding relationships, or a little bit of both.
I think I'll take the angel reading. I don't really have a romantic issue at the moment, but if the angels say I need
beautiful.
To speak to you, well, that's another story.
All righty.
All right, Dr. Connie.
You know, this is so cool that, you know, the guidance of what we feel in our heart that we need when there's multiple choices is actually very cool. All right,
yeah,
so let's see what Michael has for you. Well, this is so funny, Miss. I don't have any relationship issues at this moment, because the romance angels are actually helping you out. So there are things going on with you in that area, and I don't know if you're in a relationship, but it could be to strengthen the relationship or to, and Mark, would you do me a favor? I don't know where Mark went to.
I was just listening.
Oh, okay. Listen, Mark, I want you to pull, because she pulled romance angels, I want you to pull one card, and when I finish, I want you to read the one card that you have.
So which deck are you using today?
I'm using Archangel Michael. And Michael's saying that there's romance angels. Romance angels, I'm telling you.
Oh, wow. Well, that's interesting.
So
okay, go ahead.
It's very interesting. So I want you to pull one card that's gonna enhance that card. The other two things is that I get the sense what I'm seeing right now is kind of a rod, like a straight rod, and that you're not, that there are times when maybe you tend to want to do a lot on your own and not really lean into having others help you or support you. But what Michael is asking is that you lean on the angels and let the angels guide you and help kind of, I'm hearing, take care of you. So the sense that I'm getting is that you're kind of a lone wolf, in the sense that you like to kind of do things kind of on your own. But the angels are asking that you include them and incorporate them into the decisions and the life that you, the lifestyle and the you know, the goings on through the day. And that you really make a commitment for what it is you want to do, and, you know, have the courage and the confidence to take on what God is asking you to do. So, and part of it does have to do with romance at some level. Does that make sense?
I'm trying to put the pieces together. I'm not currently seeing anyone, so I don't have an issue with anyone. I mean, it's a possibility I could reconnect with someone. Nothing's been initiated.
Well, it's not so much that of being in a relationship, it's just that, and if you would like to have a relationship with someone, then what the angels are doing in the background is they're just kind of, and Mark is going to read his card in just a second, but they're just sort of cleaning up some clutter that would keep you from having the great relationship that you want to have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. So, Mark, what do you have?
All righty. So the card, I'm using the Romance Angels deck today, and I pulled one card for you, and it basically says, keep an open mind. And the message that's there is that your soulmate may differ from your usual type and expectations. I think for a lot of us, we've been through a lot of different relationships and stuff, and there's a certain kind of punch list of expectations or attachment we have on what we're expecting. And, you know, lots of times, you know, some of the greatest love comes out of the unexpected, you know, let it be someone that's completely different from you, you know, maybe as far as even maybe somebody from a different culture or something like that. So they're just basically saying your soulmate may differ from you and from your usual type and expectations.
Okay, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay,
all right.
Well, thank you both. I appreciate it.
All right, you have a great day. Thank you for calling in.
Yep, bye-bye.
All right. Just bear with me for a second. Let me go screen some other calls, and I'll be right back.
Oh, all right. Yeah, Mark's wearing two hats. He's doing the screening and he's wanting to do the reading, so it's he's bouncing back and forth a little bit more. Again, I encourage you to call in. We have another 20 minutes or so, and there's just a lot of really cool information, sometimes unexpected, that the angels can and want to give. So if you feel that tug, don't hesitate. Do not hesitate. Pick up the phone call. And he will be back
Guess
on
it would help if
shortly
I
in a
switched
sec.
over to be on the air. Stacy,
There you
you're on the air.
go.
It's funny. I'm like, I'm introducing you and I'm still in the back room. Oh.
Hi.
Hi, Stacy. How are you?
Stacy, would you like a
I'm
angel
well, thank you. How
reading
are
or
you?
a romance reading?
I would like a romance reading because I'm kind of going through something. I would like some
All right.
information
Very
on
cool.
romance.
All right, let's go ahead and pull three cards for you today and see what the romance angels have to say for you.
Okay.
Righty. Oh, that one. I'll turn that one around. Okay. So the first card that comes through is flirt. It says extend your lighthearted energy to others. Now, this doesn't have to be one of those naughty little flirts or whatever. It can just be this aspect of you really just sharing this joy and this part of who you truly are, you know, because you know most of the greatest relationships come from really making contact with somebody who likes you for who you are and not this like fake facade or you know what people think you are, right? So there's this idea of really just sharing your lighthearted energy that's inside of you, you know, the real, you know, this aspect of who you truly are. The next one says this could be the one. It says you've already met the romantic partner you seek. That can be some kind of interesting if there's a number of people in your life, because then you're wondering, okay, you know, which one is it? Sometimes it's very interesting because it's not very obvious. It could be somebody that you met through a friend at an event together. You know, maybe you met each other for a few minutes, but there was initial connection. Maybe there wasn't. As the way the universe works, you know, just being yourself and being out there, that person will come in and you'll start to notice more about who that is and, you know, what that's going to look like. Now, the interesting part about it is I see one person out there is like this new partner that's coming in for you, but at the same time, I see someone from your past is returning into your life. Now, that's not necessarily always a good thing. Lots of times the universe likes to bring back some exes or some other people as possible relationships just to kind of test and see if you've kind of grown past some of your old patterns. So, you know, just kind of be leery of jumping back into something, especially if you're really connected with that ex partner and then they're coming back and then you think, well, this time around it's going to be different. Chances are, no, it's not going to be different. It's going to be some of the same old stuff and the reason why it didn't work the first time. So just kind of be aware of that. It is interesting because there is this play between, you know, the angels kind of establishing three things here. You know, basically you just putting yourself out there for who you are, someone that you've met kind of getting closer to you, and then someone from your past coming back and maybe trying to rekindle a relationship again. So that's what I have for you for today and a couple of days before Valentine's Day.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I believe I met my twin flame, and the one you're talking from with my past, I'm already experiencing that. But the one that I met like in August, that too was revealed to me to be at the end of my cord, and I have reason to believe that that is twin flame, and I've been purging a lot, like we're triggering each other a lot. But he is, it's very different, and he's so hot and cold, and I don't know how to take him, but yet he won't let go. Like he keeps coming back. I'm the one that's trying to like let go to let him do whatever it is he needs to do, and I'm not sure if he is the twin flame that's being revealed to me. I don't know how to trust that.
Well, you
So.
know, all you have to do is just just be yourself and just let it unfold naturally with all the different people. And, you know, when the dust settles, you'll see what's there. There's nothing okay. you need to rush into. I would just take your time, breathe through it, enjoy just spending time with people, you know, and don't be too fast to commit to anything right away. Give it a little bit of time. You know, your heart's always going to tell you the right direction initially. That's not going to be a true indication. You got to give it a little bit of time, because there is this echo. You know, sometimes it's an echo with somebody that we've experienced, if you believe in past lives at all. Sometimes it's a past life relationship that's being healed in this lifetime. There's just lessons that are completing. Sometimes it's just a matter of finishing off an old pattern for you. So my comment to you would be is just kind of take your time, enjoy life. Don't rush into anything too quickly. Take the time to really get to know somebody. Let it, you know, if it's meant to be, it'll just unfold on its own. The idea really is that the universe just kind of unfolds things for us. And if you have a destiny or you have someone that you need to be with, the universe is consistently put that person in your life. And even though if you try to separate it, it'll actually come back together. Now, that doesn't mean that someone's showing up and just, you know, putting their best foot forward and just kind of being, you know, aggressive or anything like that means that that's any type of indication. That's why you want to give it a little bit of time to just make sure that things are exactly the way you are, or the way they need to be. Now, triggering each other in relationships is actually a really interesting way. You know, as you know, in relationships, those are the places where we learn the most about ourselves. It's actually not really about the other person. It's about mm-hmm. you and what do you mirror, what do you see when you're sharing space with somebody else. When you see a lot of triggers like that, you know, a lot of spiritual teachers would tell you, you know, that's probably, you know, I've seen a lot of people switch the terms back and forth between twin flames and soulmates. You know, some people would say, you know, a twin flame is your perfect partner. And they would say a soulmate is someone that comes into your life, teaches you some lessons, then moves on. You know, a lot of people would say your ex is probably a lot of your soulmates, you know. And you can have more than one, right, when it comes to soulmates. I've heard some other people flip it around. I've heard other people say that, you know, the twin flame is the very destructive growth, you know, people who come into your life to just grow you. Sometimes that's not always a fun process. It can be a very, very tough mm-hmm. thing. You know, when the day's over, you know, soulmates, romance, you know, destiny and all these great things, you really just want to be able to spend time with somebody and know that, you know, you can enjoy life and you can be who you want to be. And, mm-hmm. you know, everything else out the window, right? You know, we like to believe in, you know, soulmates and twin flames and all that. But when the day's over, you really just want to share time with somebody and know that you can do that in a very loving way that has healthy boundaries for both of you, that, you know, really allows you to be who you can be, the maximum and the best that you can be, and a person that creates that space for you. So with that, you know, like I said, the message that keeps on coming through is just for you to kind of take your time and don't make any quick decisions about anything one way or the other.
Okay. I thank you very much.
All right. Okay. All right, Stacey. Thanks for calling in. Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Dr. Connie, we're going to bring Anna on. Anna, are you there?
It's actually Anna. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, so. Okay. All right, romance question or angel question?
No, angel, please. Regarding
all righty, go ahead.
Anna, did you have a specific question, love, or did you just want to...
Yes, career, please.
Career, okay.
Please.
We're not doing angel, dear. We're doing goddess.
Okay.
We're doing feminine energy cards, all right? It's good. Right. It's just a different energy. It's your feminine energy. You're like something coming out of a shell and getting ready to just be who you are. It's like a nut, not that you are a nut, but that the inside of the shell is really meaty, and that's what I'm seeing with you right now is coming out of that. Okay, so here's the deal with you, with your career. Are you in one or want to find one?
Well, both.
Oh, okay. There's three aspects of feminine energy that are going to serve you well. One is to give yourself time to be quiet and to meditate and to breathe and just listen for the guidance. You have gifts and talents, and what your feminine side and this piece that's breaking out of the shell is wanting, it needs the time to sort of prepare you for the birth of being the new career person that you're going to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Mott is saying that whatever is going to happen is going to be happened with fairness and whatever's going to happen, it's going to be for your best, and it's going to be the highest for you and for everyone involved. So because you're not happy with where you are right now, the change that's definitely going to come your way, it's going to be that which is going to be for the best for you and everybody. Everybody
okay.
involved. And the third one is you're going through and part of this quiet time also that's very important is because you are changing and you're becoming more sensitive. So things that you used to enjoy don't really knock your socks off anymore. So you need to be specifically very careful about, for example, the type of people you hang around. Staying away from really loud places where there's arguments or of certain media that maybe have a lot of horror or violence during this time, because again, you're a nut that's beginning to break out of the shell. So there's the preparation for that is actually changing you from the inside out. So that you, I'm trying to put my words together. It's the feminine energy is asking you to honor your body and to honor this time of looking for work and being prepared for the new job and the new career that you're going to have.
Okay.
So, you know, watch what you ingest on food wise and watch what you ingest through your environment, and take the time to breathe and be quiet and know that the job you're going to get is going to be the exact job you're supposed to have for that time.
Okay, so your suggestion is to sit in meditation and to just stay away from the loud things.
Well, that's what the message is it's not so much that you're being punished and have to sit in a corner, it's that you're being prepared. And as you're being prepared, it's like you're being seasoned for the new job. So there's some subtle changes that are going on within you as you're being prepared for this new job, and as a result, staying a little bit more quiet, softening the entertainment or the social life that you have will help you ease into this new creature that the universe is creating to put you in this new job.
Okay. God, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Thank you, Anna. All right. Donna, you're on the air.
Hi.
Romance
oh, thank
question
you so much.
Or angel question?
Romance, please.
All righty.
Okay.
All right, let's go ahead and shuffle the deck here and see what's coming out for you.
All right.
One, two, three cards. Okay. Okay, so the first card that's coming up, I don't know that you're in a relationship or not at this point, but the first one that came up, and maybe this is particularly just talking about a potential that maybe you were looking at or something that had just finished, but basically the cards were saying that there was not enough attraction or chemistry to keep the relationship going. So that's the first message that came out, you know, the important thing is, as you move away from that, is really to just kind of understand what it was that you learned out of that that particular relationship. More importantly, about yourself. The second thing is worth waiting for. Divine timing is at work in your love life. So it seems to me that you've been kind of putting a lot of attention out there on what exactly it is that you're looking for. And the romance angels are letting you know it's in the works. You know, you would think with a billion people on the planet that you'd have 15 people in your lap by the end of the week, especially with the romance angels on your side. But, you know, sometimes, you know, being able to bring in a partner that's going to be like the best partner for you, that's going to create, you know, the most ideal relationship based on where you are and your growth today, takes a little bit of effort. I mean, I've seen in one situation in my life that I actually had to have the individual that I was interested in, and I didn't know the background on it until after I was in the relationship, but they actually physically moved from one part of the country to the other a few months before I met them. Well, it's obvious that for it to have worked, there needed to be that a couple months to actually take that person and reposition them in a different part of the United States. So, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a, you know, you might not see anything going on, but you got to realize the moment you utter a request, you know, Connie was talking about this earlier, about working with angels or defining things in your life. You know, the minute you utter something or pray for something, it's in the works. And it was funny because I think I was actually, I don't know if I was talking to you about this before the show, Dr. Connie, but I was saying, it might have been someone else I was talking to this evening and doing some coaching. I was saying sometimes you have to let go of timing and let go of attachment to outcome. And when you can do that, the universe just shows up in so many different ways. You heard from the reading earlier this evening about the other one where I told her, you know, this soulmate or whatever that's coming in for you could be completely different than what you might have on your to-do list, you know. So the second card basically says that divine timing is in the works, and they say, you know, this person that's coming is worth waiting for. That's the second card. Yeah, that's a beautiful message, you know.
Beautiful.
The third card, and this seems to be maybe talking about that first relationship, about not enough attraction or chemistry, but it's the deception card, and it seems to be talking about that relationship that you've already cleared and moved on from. It could be the one that you just came out of or the one that was right before it, but it basically said that someone was wearing a false self mask in the relationship. They weren't truly being who they said they were going to be. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know if that was the relationship you were in or the one before.
Yeah,
or both of them.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's what we have for you this evening.
Oh, that was so right on. Yes. Great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in, Donna. You have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
All righty. That was beautiful. We had Anna on and Donna. Anna, I see you're still on there. I just want to kind of give you a little message that I got while Dr. Connie was working with you, and that is, as you're taking that time, Anna, to sit in your meditation, think about what kind of job you actually want to be in. Not from the prospect of, hey, it'd be, you know, if you were, I don't know, depending on what your career is, you know, maybe you're thinking of the best corporation that represents that field. What you want to really think about is, what do I want to feel in this new job? Do I want to feel a sense of accomplishment? Do I want to be respected? Do I want to feel like what I do has value? So think about the feeling more than the job or who you're going to work for or what exactly you're going to do, and kind of put that out to the universe when you're sitting in those meditation sessions.
Okay.
And Dr. Connie, I think we're almost done with the show, but before I do some closing prayers and send a whole lot of love to everybody, can I give you a reading?
Oh, absolutely.
All righty. I didn't forget about you. All righty. Let's go ahead and pull three cards for you. All righty. And it's funny. You know, I've done this before, and I swear to you, I shuffled the deck. I really did. And this is,
I'm
this is
actually,
yeah, this is actually Donna's reading again. So,
okay.
The last relationship, there wasn't enough chemistry. They weren't mm-hmm. representing themselves as their true self, and the angels are working
mm-hmm.
on the perfect mate for you. So divine timing
mm-hmm.
is in the works. It's interesting.
Can't
I think when I first started doing readings years ago when I was in class, you know, in my spiritual group, you know, I had a reading where I basically did a reading for somebody, shuffled the deck, did a reading for someone else, then I did the third reading, and the third reading was exactly the same cards in that time when I was using those cards for that reading. I was actually using probably about 14 cards in a certain formation. Kind of like a tree formation on the table, and it was exactly the same cards in the same formation in the same position
mm-hmm.
and the readings
mm-hmm.
were completely different. And with mm-hmm. romance angels it's a little bit easier, especially with three cards, that it's pretty much
right.
the same message coming through that we gave
right.
to Donna this evening. So with that, before we close out the show and say goodbye to everybody and wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day, let me go ahead and send out some love to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We want to send out love and healing energy to everybody that's listening on the air, either now live on the show or in any replay. We send blessings of love, joy, and happiness, healing, cash abundance, you know, bringing in that perfect job, bringing in that perfect relationship. We say thank you to all the beings that make everything possible, whatever it is that you believe in. We send healing energy to anybody who is healing from any type of disease, different types of cancer. We send love and support to anybody who's supporting anybody that's sick. We send love and energy to anybody who's suffering in any way. We send love and compassion for all people, knowing that everybody is just doing the best job they can. We remind everybody as we come up on Valentine's Day that the first Valentine you want to have is to love yourself, and not from the aspect of thinking that you're selfish or anything, but really realizing that if you can love yourself, then that love that you have for yourself is pretty much about the same amount of love you'll have for someone else. So if you don't love yourself first, you're not going to really be able to be in a relationship and really love somebody else at the same time. So recognize to love yourself first, to take care of yourself first, to replenish your well, to take care of yourself and have downtime and enjoyment, to find out who you really are and to enjoy life. And with that, Dr. Connie, thank you.
Thank you. Well, God bless
everybody.
You guys, and have a wonderful month. I'll talk to you next month.
Yeah, you too, Dr. Connie. You've been listening into The Arms of the Angels with Dr. Connie McNeil. She will be on the first Thursday in March. And then for the April show, she'll actually be interviewing a special guest, Linda Howell, the creator and teacher of the readings of the Akashic Records. And with that, I say goodnight to everybody. You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio.
Good night.